My name is Hilary. I'm an addict.
Hi, Hilary.
You have to be patient with me because this feels really weird talking into a microphone. I feel I should be doing a song and dance for you all instead of talking, you know.
Go on.
No, you wouldn't like to hear me. I sound terrible and my dance is really weird. You know, I've started dancing the five rhythms, which I don't know if anyone knows about, which is really fantastic. And I was dancing last night and finding my rhythm, you know. And when I talk about the five rhythms, I always think that people think, because I do that all the time, is that Hilary dances to her own tune, which of course means something completely different, you know. And I do that as well, but first of all, I wasn't going to say this. I decided I wasn't going to thank Claire for asking me to do the chair because I thought I might be sick on the first row because I'd be so nervous, you know, and I was thinking, is it going to be that projectile sick or is it just going to be that heavy volume? But because I've been fairly nervous about this, I'm a Buddhist and I chant a lot, and I've been chanting and I've been dancing and I've been talking to people, and actually I feel quite good. And I was thinking, really, I shouldn't be nervous. This should be a celebration of me being clean today. And in a room of people that aren't going to judge me. You know, I thought at one point there might be a man in a suit coming up and tapping me on the shoulder and saying, Hilary, we think that what you're sharing is not appropriate. Could you please leave the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous? And he hasn't done that yet, so I'm really pleased. And another thing was, you know, I was thinking that maybe I'd sit down here and freak out and wet myself, because I used to do that a lot, you know, but I haven't done that either, so I'm just so pleased. Yes. Well, I first came into recovery 5 years ago, and my God, you know, I can't believe that I am the same person. You know, it is just amazing. When I went into Springfield in 2003, me and my son were living in temporary accommodation in Tooting. It was really run down. The door was hanging off its hinges. The toilet was permanently leaking. And, I mean, I would never ring the council up. I mean, I didn't even open my letters. And I was just in the most terrible state. My son was five and a half. I'd lost my daughter to her father when she was 13, so that was sort of 5 years before, 3 years before, and I just went completely downhill after that. And I completely lost the plot. I didn't know what I was using for anymore. I was so completely gone. And when I was in a relationship with the fathers of my children, I was into injecting quite heavily, very codependent. My veins were so bad that I begged them to inject me, you know, and I begged them to inject me in the neck because that was just the easiest place. But when the relationship broke down, I would be scripted. I would be scripted on methadone, take loads of Valium, and I mean, I just loved gouching out. That was just, the gouch for me was just, I mean, if my head wasn't between my ankles, I wasn't happy. I didn't think it was, you know, it was fun. Oh my God, honestly. When I think about that now, you know, that would be my worst nightmare, to have my head round my ankles, do you know what I mean? And it's just such a joy to be able to look around this room and look into people's eyes and feel okay. In fact, the other day I was walking down Putney High Street and I was just thinking, God, it's such a beautiful day. My head was held up high and I walked into a pile of dog shit outside my eyes. And I thought, well, you still have to look down from time to time. You know what I mean? And then I walked into, oh dear, I have to make amends to HMV because they've got a lovely carpet. And I went in there and skated around the shop. But anyway, I will go in and apologise. No, I won't go in and apologise. What am I talking about? Anyway, I haven't managed, unfortunately, to stay clean for the 5 years. First of all, becoming conscious was very painful. And that's what kept me out there for so long, because there were things that I did not want to think about. My son was born addicted. He was kept in hospital for 4 or 5 weeks. He was being injected every 4 hours with morphine. And I don't know how a mother can let that happen, but I did. So it was very painful. My first year was really painful. I felt incredibly empty. The memories were so, they were all coming back and they were really painful. And my little son, who was very, very damaged, everyone called him Sellotape because he just wouldn't leave my side. And every time I looked at him, it was painful. Every time I looked at him, so I started going to meetings, and I found them quite difficult in the beginning, because I thought, you know, how can holding each other's hands and hugging each other really keep me clean and stop the memories? But it stopped me from sitting at home watching television, and I hate cleaning, so it got me out of the house, you know. But really, it doesn't matter why you go to a meeting in the beginning, you know, what reasons you go, but you keep going back to them. I got into a relationship. I fell in love, and I was clean, and it was really exciting. And you know, I felt like a blob when I first came into recovery. I felt like a blob and not a woman. And this man made me feel like a woman. And I lost a baby, and he was terribly upset. And then we didn't talk about it. And one thing led to another, and he relapsed. And I was absolutely gutted. I thought, oh my God, he said he loved me. And it was the first time I saw addiction on the other side. You know, someone was using and I wasn't. And I knew nothing really about addiction. And I became a sort of Mother Teresa in suspenders. And I thought, well, I can look after you, but you have to give me some of what you've got, you know. And I end up using with him. But I managed to get back into the rooms, and sadly he's gone back to Italy and he's still using, and that's very sad, and I pray that he will be, you know, he'll get clean, because he's a good man. I then thought, I better get a sponsor, I better do what people suggest, and I did. I got a sponsor who is incredibly loving, quite firm with me, and sometimes I don't like that, but she's exactly what I need. And I became honest. Sometimes I feel I'm too honest with her, because she gives me a hard time, you know, with some things. But I became honest, I became very open, and I became willing to do what she suggested. And I started working the steps, which I didn't do before. You know, I thought that would be too painful. I don't want to sort of open up all that pain. And actually, it wasn't as bad as I thought, you know. It wasn't as bad as I thought. I haven't completed the steps. But, you know, I've sort of opened up the past, and I can deal with it today, you know. I can deal with those things. And my sponsor is someone that I've managed to ring and speak to. And I can actually speak to her for an hour on the phone. And I never could do that with anyone before. You know, I had a real phobia with phones. And she was supposed to come tonight, but she's not feeling very well. And we were talking for an hour, and we were laughing. We were talking about, thank God we hadn't gone to prison. And I was saying, yeah, because, you know, I was so scared about going to prison. I was so scared. I had already planned that I was going to look for a big, strong woman, and I was going to be her bitch, and then I'd be okay. And I would be okay with that. Do you know what I mean? I had it all planned out. I even had my funeral planned out when I was using, you know, and I was thinking about how many people would actually cry. You know, I mean, really sick stuff. You know, and God, I mean, I remember once I was sort of completely, one morning, I was on Lough Gactol for some reason, because I like the gout, yeah. And my dad was calling me, and I could sort of hear him, but if anyone's had Lough Gactol, you can't really move a lot. And he came up to the room, up to my bedroom, and he looked at me and he kept slapping my face. And he thought I was dead. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that look on his face. And, I mean, it's a miracle that, you know, I'm clean today. And my father's got Parkinson's, and I can be with him today. I couldn't sit in a room with him before because it was too uncomfortable. It was too awkward. I felt so ashamed, so dirty, so guilty. And I can sit with him today. There were a lot of people in my family that were so angry with me, that hated me so much, because I'd used for a very long time. Thank you. They couldn't stay in the same room as me, and now those relationships have been healed. You know, I've got a good relationship with my sister. My brother is getting better. And my daughter, she's coming tomorrow from France with her little girl. And me being clean today has allowed them to stop worrying about me, stop being angry with me, and to actually let go and get on with their own lives. You know, and that is a miracle. And that ripple effect of one person getting clean, it's like one person changes the destiny of the world. And it really does. I truly believe that. And my son and my daughter and my granddaughter, they've all got a chance today. And so have I. And it is really good to be here and to be with people that I know care about me, you know. And just keep coming back. And it is hard sometimes, but just stick with it, you know. I don't know what else to say. I could carry on for ages, but I will stop there. But I'm so grateful to be clean. I'm so grateful to have a lovely home today. I'm so grateful to have my children in my life. And it's good, you know, I feel I belong to this fellowship, you know, and I get my identification here. I do go to another fellowship, but this is where I get my identification. And I'm feeling really hot and sweaty, so I think I'll relax and say thank you for listening to me.